catches the eye of this one older lady, and everyone has masks on. We're all socially distanced, and then he looks over at this lady, and sure enough, she walks over, takes off her mask, and gets right in Gage's face because he's just so cute, and she just couldn't help herself. And Gage's favorite noise to make, his favorite thing that he does, is this. He's a, and he's just spraying right in this lady's face. COVID, for all she knows, she is staring at the face of death, and she's smiling because it's just so gosh darn cute. And as you guys know who are parents, kids melt our hearts sometimes. They're so cute, but that actually isn't always the case. There's another side to having children. And Gage actually has the craziest startle reflex. When Sarah was pregnant, I wasn't allowed to use the fob on my car because to lock the door, it makes a little bit of a beep noise. Not that loud, but when Sarah was pregnant, she had to sit down every time I did it because Gage was just going crazy. Sure enough, 8 months later, I still can't use the fob because Gage's arms go up, he starts to scream and cry, and he can't handle it. So Gage has this problem with fear, and that was most shown a little while ago when we went over to a friend's house. And Gage is pretty good when I hand him over to people, so hand him over to my friend, and she opens the door, and she has a couple dogs. And they're not that big, and they're not that loud, but they start to bark. And Gage was in a stranger's arms, and these dogs were barking, and he started crying, tears rolling down his face, started screaming. He then started to cough, and then he started to dry heave in this stranger's arms because he's so terrified about these dogs. We pick him up, hand him over to his mom. He calms down. We eventually leave, and as we leave, we're driving away, and we're talking, like, Gage has this real problem with fear. How are we going to solve this? And what I realized is Sarah and I, what we wanted to do was help him to mask those fears, because that's really what I do. I still get very afraid. I feel like crying and screaming sometimes, but you guys would all think I'm super weird if I did that every time I started speaking. So I started to mask over those feelings. However, I'm still regularly crippled by fear, and fear often wins the battle for the actions in my life. You know, I wish I could be like the superheroes, the people who are fearless and go in to harm's way, disregarding their fears to do what they need to do. I love stories of fearlessness. And that's actually why I love King David in the Bible. Maybe the epitome in the Old Testament of fearlessness. This kid, as a young boy, he fought off lions and bears. And then he went, no one in his whole army was going to fight Goliath. And him as a boy, he shows up with a slingshot to a sword fight, and he wins. And he then becomes a commander in Saul's army, this mighty king and warrior. David was fearless. And those are probably the stories that you know about King David as well. There are many more lesser-known stories about David because throughout the rest of his life, most of the time, he was crippled by fear. And we're going to be looking at one of those stories today where David's fear was actually overwhelming. So let's set the scene a bit. David is king of Israel, and the kingdom seems to be going pretty well, but David's family life is an absolute mess. I'm not going to share with you all the details right now. It's probably at least PG-13, but you can go to 2 Samuel 13 to 15 if you would like and hear the whole story there. And kids, if you end up reading the story there, the parents, you can blame the Bible for sharing that stuff, not me. That'd be great. It ends up, these stories end up with one of David's sons, Absalom, murdering another one of his sons, Amnon. And for a couple of years, Absalom has left, he's fled, but then David welcomes him back. And this is great because everybody loves Absalom. Absalom's a good-looking guy. He's very charismatic. People are drawn to him. Everyone wants to be around Absalom. And people confide in Absalom a lot as well. So what started to happen in Jerusalem is people had some complaints about the king. I don't know if you've been around in society. Sometimes, for the weirdest reason, sometimes people complain about our leaders. I've never seen it, but some of you may have seen that at some point. And so people are complaining about the king, and they go to Absalom to complain about the king, his dad. And he's very empathetic to their complaints. And he starts to agree with them, and he starts to egg them on, and he actually starts to gather the people who are complaining and get them more riled up, and he eventually ends up leading a rebellion against King David. A plot emerges to have him killed and for Absalom to take over the throne. When David finds out about this, he gathers some of his family and some soldiers who he trusts, and he flees to a mountainside. And as he's running away from his son, who's a traitor, fleeing the kingdom, the people that he's supposed to protect, he's running away from his duties, his responsibilities. And then he finds out that his close friend, his mentor and counselor throughout his life, Ahithophel, is also in on this plot to have him killed and to give his son the throne. I can't imagine what David is going through at this point. The fear is overwhelming him, and it's easy to feel powerless and weak and revert just back to our most basic human instincts. And that's what David does. And he is overwhelmed by fear. And it's at this moment that he writes Psalm 55. This is what it says. It says, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and hunt me down." He starts this prayer by telling God to listen three times in three different ways. He says, "Listen to my prayer. Don't ignore my prayer. Hear me and answer me." That shows where David is right now. He's angry at God because he feels like God hasn't been listening. David had plans. He knew what God should do in his mind, and God's obviously not doing that, so he's furious. He says, "God, I need you to listen up." I don't pray that way often. I get scared to talk to God like that sometimes. If I ever do pray that way, I am incredibly angry. And he's saying, "God, listen." He's expressing his distress to God. He's saying, "Look at all this. This is a mess. I'm fleeing my kingdom. My son is trying to kill me and take over the throne. My friends have partnered with them." And he's reminding God how dire this situation is. And as sometimes happens when you finally get a chance to vent and say everything that's going on, sometimes you just break down when you hear yourself say it. And I think he finally realizes it. And he ends up writing this terribly sad but beautifully written verse. This is what he says. It says, "My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape far from this wild storm of hatred." David, overwhelmed by fear, Samantha's face. Lions and giants now overwhelmed by fear. This is a guy who's been able to cover up this fear his whole life. He looks strong. He's a mighty warrior. He's a king. He's very capable. And now he's on the side of a mountain, fleeing his friends, his family, and he can't stop shaking. And he prays one of the saddest prayers. He says, "If I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and rest." And here's why I think that's so sad. I've been in ministry for a long time, and for the past 16 years, I've been ministering to junior high boys as well as other kids. And so one question that gets asked a lot is, if you could be any animal in the world, what would you be and why? And I get a lot of answers to that question. Sometimes I get eagle, because you can fly higher than everything else and you can see everything that's going on. Sometimes I get lion or cheetah or something like that, because you're fast and you're strong and nobody wants to mess with you. My favorite all-time ever one was some kid said, "I would be a blue whale, because all I have to do is swim with my mouth open and I would get dinner." And that's brilliant. That's a great answer. That kid's he's going to go somewhere. So all those answers are great. Never has any kid ever over the past 16 years said, "I would be a dove so I could fly away." It's the answer of someone who's given up hope. They have no fight in them left. They just want to give up and fly away and be away from all of these troubles. A dove has given up hope. And maybe today you can understand. Maybe you feel like you're a dove and you just wish you could fly away from all of the troubles. You know, maybe things at work aren't going so well right now. There's been some layoffs. And you worry that maybe you're going to be next and you don't know how you're going to care for your family. Or maybe with things starting to open up, you worry about your health or the health of your loved ones, and that terrifies you. And you just want to escape all of this stuff that's going on. Maybe you see what's going on in the world around you, and the media is sharing this constant terrible stuff happening around the world, and you just want to fly away and rest. Or maybe it's something else that is overwhelming you with fear and you just want to escape. I understand. I've prayed those prayers before, and it's okay to pray those prayers. It's okay to feel that way. I unfortunately do have to let you know that sometimes God doesn't actually answer those prayers the way that you want. God might give you a moment of rest, but God doesn't want you running away your entire life. That's a terrible way to live, and God knows that. He might give you a piece of rest and some time to escape, but not a lifetime of that. So David prays this prayer to grow wings like a dove and fly away. And this prayer eventually becomes a song. And the interesting thing about this song is it has an interlude in it. And as soon as David prays this prayer to grow wings like a dove, there's an interlude. There's a break in the song, and it just lets you be quiet there in the peace of just flying away and not having to worry about all of the troubles in this world, all of the troubles and stress and fear in your world. And God almost invites you into this peace for a moment, this break in the song where you can dream of peace and flying away. And for a moment, we get to dream and rest in that of what the kingdom of God will be like, where we won't have to fly away for peace, but we'll just have it. And then the interlude ends, and David's prayer goes back into this fearful reality that he is dealing with. And in the face of being betrayed by his friends and family, he moves on from fear, and it changes into anger and retribution, two other very primal instincts. And he says this to God. He says, "Confuse them, Lord, and frustrate their plans, for I see violence and conflict in this city. Its walls are patrolled day and night against invaders, but the real danger is wickedness within the city. Everything is falling apart. Threats and cheating are rampant in the streets. It's not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It's not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion and close friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. Let death stalk my enemies. Let the grave swallow them alive, for evil makes its home within them." This is David telling God what he wants to happen. David sat in fear for a bit, and now he's responding in anger. And this is incredibly common. What you'll see and what I've found is oftentimes the most angry people are actually the most afraid people. I've talked with controlling husbands who are incredibly angry to their spouse, and then they, once you get to know them more, you find out that they're just incredibly fearful that someone's going to leave them, and that's why they act out this way. I've talked with bullies in school who are angry at all those around them, and you'll find out that they're actually just afraid of what their parents do to them, and this is a chance for them to have some control. I want to be very clear, I'm not justifying any of that, those actions. What I am saying, though, is anger is the response of someone who's very afraid. And I've seen it happen throughout, and that's exactly what's happening with David here. He's still afraid, but now he's masking it with anger. And once again, that's an okay place to sit for a bit, right? It's okay to be overwhelmed by fear to the point where you're shaking. It's okay to be angry at those who do evil. If you deny those emotions, you're denying what it is to be human. And it's okay to feel that way. But you don't want to stay there. So after David responds in fear and anger, he turns his prayer off of himself and puts it towards God. And if you can get one lesson from this whole psalm, this whole message, it's that. When you're overwhelmed with fear, lament, stress, anger, have some time talking with God about that, how you're feeling, where you are, and then shift your focus off of yourself towards God. And I love how David does this. Halfway through the psalm, he has this one simple, short phrase that changes everything from him-centered to God-centered. And he said, "But I will call on God." The first half of the prayer is over. David has shared his thoughts, his feelings. He's vented out everything that he felt he needed to say. And feel free, those of you who are watching today, do that. Vent it out. Say everything that you're upset about. If you're living in 2020 and you're not afraid or angry or frustrated, there's something wrong with you. So tell God, okay? Let him know. Be angry. That's fine. Be afraid. That's fine. And then shift your focus to God. After everything that's going on here, he moves to the second half of the prayer with the phrase, "But I will call on God." He's ready to move forward, not afraid of everything that's going around, not angry at all that, but with a willingness to partner in God in what to do next and how to respond. He puts his problems into perspective, knowing that the God of the universe throughout history is with him, loves him, cares for them, and is right there with him. And he moves into the second half of this prayer with this. He says, "The Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me. Though many still oppose me, God, who has ruled forever, will hear me and humble them." And you can see such a massive tone change here, right? He started this psalm by telling God to listen to him three times, assuming that God's not listening to him, so he needs to keep on saying it. Now, twice here, he says, "I know the Lord hears me." He's taking it for granted that he's partnering with God through his response here. And this prayer, when you mean it, will overcome fear. See, fear overwhelms you when the problem is bigger than yourself. Think of Gage when he's in a new home in a stranger's arms and there's these two dogs that are bigger than him barking at him. Those problems are bigger than him. There's nothing he can do. He doesn't know the person holding him and he's scared because he's helpless. And it wasn't until his mom picked him up that he knew he was safe. And David's done the exact same thing here. He's put himself in his father's arms. He knows the God throughout history is right there with him and loves him. And now he knows he's safe. He can face those fears and that anger, not alone, but with God. And whatever you're facing today, I can almost be certain whatever is upsetting you today is a problem based on fear. Ask yourself a lot of why questions. Whatever you're upset about, ask why. If you keep on doing that, eventually you'll find something that you're afraid of. And then, once you've found that out, like David, put yourself in your father's arms. Know that God is bigger and stronger than you. He's bigger and stronger than the fears that you have, and he wants to rescue you. And then David ends this prayer by confirming that he's no longer consumed by fear, but he's living out his trust of God. And he shares this lesson with others, and he writes it in a song so that it would be sung by the church through generations so that it wouldn't be lost. He wants it to stick. So he put it in this song, and he has this final instruction to us, the last verse of this. He says, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall, but you, O God, will send the wicked down to the pit of destruction. Murderers and liars will die young, but I am trusting you to save me." He has overwhelming trust in God. And that's the lesson. Trust in God conquers fear. Proverbs 29:25, my favorite verse. I think I actually shared it with you last time I was preaching because I felt like I had to do it last time. And now I felt like the same. I have to share this verse with you again. And it was written by Solomon, a different son of King David's, who followed on to be king after him. Proverbs 29:25, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe." It was a lesson that David thought was so important that he put it in a song for the church to sing for generations. It was a lesson he thought was so important that he passed it on to his son. It was a lesson his son thought was so important that he wrote it in scripture for Christianity and the church for generations to read. That fear of man will prove to be a snare, but trust in God, those who trust in the Lord will be kept safe. Trusting in God is the lesson. It's the answer to fear that we have. And I hope as it's stuck throughout the church for generations that it will stick with you this week. As you go on this week, whatever it is that you fear, whatever it is you're worried about, whatever it is that angers you, to put your trust in God who loves you, cares for you, and is with you. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you that you are with us. That when fear overwhelms us and our problems are bigger than us, and it seems like we have nowhere to go, we actually do have somewhere to go, and that's into your arms, God. I pray that we would rely on that, that we would lean into you this week, this year, as things seem like they're falling apart all around us, when friends maybe betray us, when work starts to look difficult, when money gets tight, when this handling of the pandemic seems too overwhelming, God, when we're stressed out, I pray that we would look to you. Put our trust in you. Rely on you to guide us through this week, God. Rely on you to guide us through this year, through these troubles, and thank you that we can know that you are always with us, God. In your name I pray. Amen.